Welcome to another Michigan Writers series, this evening featuring Jim Daniels, poet, professor of English at Carnegie Mellon University, and native of Detroit. He's the author of several books of poetry, including Punching Out, Letters to America, which is an edited book, subtitled Contemporary American Poetry on Race. Another book is M80, and most recently, Blessing the House, published by the University of Pittsburgh Press in 1997. I find that that's not true, that there are other books that I have seen even just this evening.
Yeah, three books in the past year. One is my first collection of short stories called No Pets, which I wrote a screenplay for the title story of that that was turned into a feature film by an independent filmmaker. And a new book of poems called Blue Jesus, which is by Carnegie Mellon University Press. And I co-edited an anthology called American Poetry, The Next Generation, Poets Under 40 who've published at least one book of poems. So three different kinds of books,
very
but
different,
all
yes.
Part of the same. The
well,
same thing.
We will. I look forward to seeing them.
Well, thanks.
From the basis of reading your previous books, I'm sure that they're going to be very lyrical and interesting. Maybe a bit tough.
Yeah, a lot of edge to
yeah, a lot of
the
edge.
work.
You use poetry to talk about reality and what's meaningful. In the reality you describe, from what I've read so far, is working class Detroit people, tensions, teenage gangs, urban violence, racial tension and stress, conflict and economic stress, and it indicates, your poetry indicates a kind of acceptance of this world and a reaction to it. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I think one of the reasons I've written so much about those things is because I've felt a hole in a lot of our literature, particularly when it comes to working class issues and working class people. If nothing else, I want to say, well, this is poetry too. There's poetry in these lives. And these are the kinds of things, the kind of human struggles that go on every day, and that they should be part of our literature. And they're all tied in together, work, class, race, violence. And I try and write about real people struggling with these things. I came to poetry as a person and because of the emotional connection to the material. And so I think my poems tend to be more based in what somebody might call the real world. And, you know, I would say I'm definitely an urban poet.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Pittsburgh in the city, and the city continues to be, any city, large city, tends to be a real source of inspiration for
mm-hmm.
my work. Not always, you know, pleasant, but always challenging in a way that I think allows me to probe beneath the surface.
The lives you talk about revolve around work and drink and violence and cars, and sometimes step deeper, the defeated, the factory lifers, the drunks, killing and racism. Does your poetry play any part in keeping these people from being continued victims? I mean, or do you picture that as a kind of...
Well, I guess I don't like to use the word victims, but certainly, well...
Well, it was my word, I just... how I think of it.
I don't want to be a name dropper here, but John Sayles, the writer and filmmaker, wrote a nice comment about the collection of short stories that I think is applicable here. He said that these are people who realize that the American dream is not for them.
Uh-huh.
And I think that realization...
Many of your poems have expressed that, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And the book of stories continues in that vein. And so I think These are people who are struggling against the circumstances of their lives, and a lot. But in a number of the poems, I try and focus in on the small victories, the little victories of overcoming the circumstances of their lives. Whether in Short Order Cook is a poem where a guy cooks 30 cheeseburgers and 30 orders of French fries at the same time. That's a kind of victory over a challenge of the work. I have a poem called For People Who Can't Open Their Hoods, where the character's a stock boy in a kind of fancy department store, and he helps a customer give her car a jump to get her started. And for a moment, he scares them enough to think that he's going to drive away with their car. So that's these little victories.
Little victories. In your edited book, Letters to America, you describe writing your poem Time Temperature. Can you tell our audience about that one?
Yeah, Time
That's
Temperature is a long poem which uses the 1967 riots in Detroit as the central subject. It was the longest poem I'd ever written at the time that I wrote it, and I think that's true because race was a subject I'd repressed writing about because I felt threatened, because it forced me to examine my own background and history in a pretty frank, honest way. And in graduate school, I'd had James Baldwin as a visiting professor. I know it's hard to imagine James Baldwin coming over from Paris to teach in Bowling Green,
Bowling
Ohio,
Green.
but he did. And he challenged us in this class to examine our own history and background in a more honest way beyond the simple platitudes. I mean, like I said in the introduction, we all thought we were pretty liberal. After all, we were taking a course from James Baldwin. And, but I felt threatened by that challenge, and I wasn't really ready to respond to it. So I look at that poem as kind of a late paper for his class in a way that he might appreciate, I hope, because it's really going into my neighborhood and my family and myself in terms of trying to get at the heart of racism and the racial tension, particularly in that area. I lived right off of 8 Mile Road. My parents still live there, and in the Detroit area, 8 Mile's the border, and there was really a border mentality among a lot of the people in my neighborhood, who many of them were poor people from the South who came up to get jobs in the auto plants, and some of the same racial problems came north with them. And I was 11 years old when the riots hit, and I didn't quite know what was going on until later. And so the poem's from the perspective of looking back and maybe seeing things a little more clearly and honestly than I would have at the time.
And you dedicated the poem to James Baldwin.
Yeah, there's a James Baldwin room at Bowling Green, and the book is there, and they were happy to
How
receive it.
appropriate.
Yeah.
What are you working on now?
I'm working on a second collection of short stories and a new collection of poems. In addition, I'm going to have a limited edition chapbook of poems coming out later this spring, a series of music poems called Red Vinyl, Black Vinyl. And it'll be published by a small press from Toledo called Oriole Press. And so I'm working on a little bit of everything. I'm going to have an essay coming out in Fourth Genre, which is a
Oh, good.
nonfiction, creative nonfiction magazine coming out of Michigan State right here, called The Family Calendar. It should be maybe in the next issue or two. And I keep trying out all the different forms as a way of challenging myself as a writer. The poetry is really at the heart of everything I do, but I like working in the other forms too.
Just one more thing that I was reading a review, and the New York Times described your writing as a renegade style. How do you respond to that?
Well, all writers want to be renegades, so
So that's good.
yeah. So I was thrilled to be called a renegade because writers are always nobody wants to be con known, or most of the writers I know don't want to be known as conservative writers. So I like the idea of that somebody thinks I might be a renegade in terms of the style, and I'm not exactly sure. I think I use a real plain-spoken style that in some way rebels against people's traditional notions of what poetry is supposed to sound like, and the level of diction and the sophistication of the language. I try and write, and I tell my own
You
students,
write a lot of dialogue too, don't you?
yeah, and that may have made the transition into fiction a little easier for me, because I like using dialogue in my poems, and the move into fiction really, and a lot of my poems are narrative too, so it wasn't that big of a jump for me. I lost the value of the line, which I really like to have as a poet in terms of controlling the movement of the poem and the rhythm and everything with the line. But I was able to expand some character development and use more dialogue in fiction. And I think it made my new book of poems, Blue Jesus, more experimental, because I'd just written a book of short stories. So it's not as narrative because I was working with so much narrative in the stories. Or maybe I'm just making that up. As a writer, a book comes out, it's hard to evaluate it myself. I know it's different, but I'm not quite sure how or why or whether that's good or not.
Well, regardless of how it's described, I thank you very much for talking to us this evening.